Anybody move that we adopt? Thank you very much. Minister, we adopt it. Thank you very much. That is the first part of our meeting. I'm assuming that we and Cindy are still pulling out stuff that is up to departments to do that they haven't done. Members will recall that we've decided that we've asked them for and Cindy to pull out all the stuff from the minutes. And we're having a meeting with the department that's going to do just for that. Yeah. On the 7th of April, all we're doing is asking the department to come and ask the questions that we've raised previously that they haven't asked. So, again, members, if there are some stuff that you think that you would need to put on the table, if you can let Cindy and Paul know so that they can either check that they have already set up or we've set up. But we've just been asking and asking, and then they'll come with the answer. So that's the intention, Mr.
Chair. Can we add to that correspondence that we've had with the department? I mean, I'll send it to Cindy, but I mean, there's correspondence that's, you know, 6 months old. The National Commission seems to respond to it immediately, and 6 months later, there's no response.
So we will do that. Whatever correspondence that has been sent from the chairperson or from members that we're still waiting for some sort of reaction, we will be able to do that. And it will be an open meeting. So we'll ask them on all of these matters. What we should do is, as usual, distribute to the members whatever we send them to look at so that we can be prepared when they come in here. But it's going to be a meeting of matters and items. Basically, the meeting of matters arising with the department. Having said that and done that, we are waiting for the department and the organized labor to prepare at 10 o'clock. Yeah, thank you very much.
No, 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 no,
Another document. In other words, the PowerPoint was scanned on information. Today I'm informed by Cindy that a similar thing is being said, that there is a PowerPoint that was given to us some time ago and that members that have looked at. But really, we're going to come and talk to another document which you presented to us today. Now that's not acceptable. That is not acceptable. Because what you are doing is you are forcing us now to talk to you on a document that we received last night. So we ask you to go and relay this to the commissioner, because we've been raising this matter quite some time ago. If the PowerPoint is not sufficient in terms of being able to give us the details, then don't give us the PowerPoint, just give us the document. So that as members and as Parliament we can prepare accordingly, and anybody else that appears before this committee, doesn't make sense to give us headline information and then come with the detail later on, because it defeats the objective of us preparing better and so on. So, for the record, those that are leading the delegation, please relay that. It will be minutes, and the next time that it happens, clearly we're going to have a problem. So having said that, I'm going to ask from the far end, sir, if you could introduce yourself and your organization, and we'll go this way and we'll end up with Mr. Bell. I'm Mr. Max. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Sebastian, very much for the opportunity, and also all members of Parliament, and also the Department PSA. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus. I'm Wendy Simbolekwa, the Professor Secretary of POCO in the Western Cape. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm Shantina Pisella, the Resident Parliamentary Officer from POCO. Thank you.
Representing PSA and official.
The respected chairperson, thank you very much for this opportunity. I am a national chairperson for correctional services in the public service association.
Good morning. I am Kukuna Bete, I'm the deputy commissioner at HRM. Thank you.
Good morning, chairperson, and the honorable members of the portfolio committee. My name is Pumla Matsubela. And the newly appointed Chief Deputy Commissioner of Corporate Services. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member and unions as well. My name is Lucky Tekisho, Deputy Commissioner of Employee Relations and Equity.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Terence Rasaroka. I'm the Deputy Commissioner, Executive Management.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. My name is Pico Bambo. I'm the Deputy Commissioner responsible for intergovernmental relations. Thank you.
And my name is Vincent Smith, Chairperson of the committee.
My name is Cindy Body, I'm the committee secretary.
My name is Nkoma Parasa, the Chairperson of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Nini Wen, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, my name is Nureen Paliso, Portfolio Committee.
My name is Mort, member of the committee.
I'm Jack Self, member of the committee.
Rubela Colendo, member of the committee.
This is Malam Roselelo Matakula, Lindongara Committee.
My name is Bennett Beck, member of the committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Abraham, Honorable Nyanda, and Honorable Nguni are members of the committee, but they've all reported ill today. So there are about three or four more members that are not there because of ill health. Now that we know each other and who they represent, can we allow POC to state your case?
What are we going to do with this document? I'm just
that you cannot tell the commissioner. I'm just asking politically, what are we going to do with this government now? I'm asking them deliberately, so that when we start the discussion, we must know the status of this document. What is the status of this document? Can we throw it away at this moment? Will we bring it later on? Or what is the status of this document?
No, we can't throw the document away. It's information you require, you only talk to them. The point that we were making, and I think you understand what Mr. And Dogu is saying, we really can't get a document 5 minutes before the meeting starts, because it just puts us at a disadvantage. However, Baba, let's keep that document. We'll listen to the input from the department. They might refer to it, and we will have to adapt for this meeting, but clearly it can't happen. But we're going to allow you, ma'am, to maybe address just this document.
Thank you, Chairperson. The document that was circulated last night is not what we are going to be speaking to in the Department of Correctional Services today. It was just additional information. It's information that was prepared for the meeting of the Portfolio Committee that was scheduled for September 2011. So it's not the document that we are going to be speaking to today. We are going to be speaking to the PowerPoint presentation that was submitted to the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
So the fact that we've only received this document today is not this advance. Thank you very much. All right, we will use it as resource information. We have until 1 o'clock. It is just past 10. So can we ask Pop Crew to do your presentation, Pop Crew, in about 20 minutes?
Thank you.
We will then ask the PCA to do the same. And then we'll ask the department, in addition to whatever document you have, to start responding to whatever the two previous presentations talked to. Thereafter, we will then open it up to members and to all of us to start our way forward. At 12:30, we'll ask you to conclude your presentation. It's now 10:30. Is that okay? Or is it 20 minutes too short for your presentation? Let's have a look at 20 minutes and see. If you still need time, we won't give you more time. But I'd rather have more discussions than presentation.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, leadership of the department, leaders from PSA. Ladies and gentlemen, our revolutionary greetings this morning. It's with great honor for this organization to be part of this colloquium, to share information and exchange ideas on the impact of the seven-day establishment and progress made on the implementation of the occupation-specific dispensation. Discussions of this nature, in our view, are always quite important. And our attendance is of great value because we believe that we have a moral obligation and social responsibility to contribute to the shaping of the Department of Correctional Services. Without much ado, Honorable Chairperson, allow me to outline the impact of the 7-day establishment and the implementation as follows. It's crucial for folks to remind the House that the implementation of the 7-day establishment was meant, among other things, to ensure compliance with the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, hereafter referred to as the BCEA, introduction of a shift system which would allow for enough breaks between meals for inmates, whilst ensuring sufficient time for the reapplication program to take place on daily basis, including over weekends, and to minimize overtime expenditure, which was remuneration of those who perform duties for the weekend. Unfortunately, this was supposed to be accompanied by employment of additional personnel, particularly at the production level, because another reason for employees to work weekend overtime, besides the fact that the department was a 5-day work establishment, was the reality that there was a shortage of personnel. Unfortunately, the department has not arisen to the challenge of employing sufficient personnel to address the shortage and reduce unemployment. To this end, the department has demonstrated lack of commitment to attainment of the objectives of the General Public Service Sectoral Bargaining Council Resolution 2009 agreement on the occupation-specific discrimination for correctional officials. The latter assertion is supported by the manner in which the department chose to go about implementing this resolution, which approach is in contradiction with what has been discussed and agreed upon in the bargaining council meeting. We have seen the department focusing its financial resources and energy in creation of jobs, thus ballooning at the top, ballooning the top structure of the department, disregarding critical needs existing in the shop floor where tools are needed in order to deliver the objectives of the OSD agreement. To cite a few examples, the department has not been able to create more positions required for the 7-day establishment. The specialized tools of different streams as agreed to in the OSD agreement. It is imperative for us to also put input on the following resolutions. One, migration of officials, which is clause 16 of the agreement. The purpose of this clause, despite giving correctional officers a free choice to choose whether to function in correctional centers or in other or in non-center facilities, was also to ensure that personnel, more personnel, is migrated to the correctional centers to add more power, manpower, which is what we are complaining about today. However, the department has failed to migrate officials to who opted for center-based OSD, and this contributes to shortage of personnel because these correctional officials remain in institutions such as head office and regional office, despite being chosen to function in the center, and they remain paid as though they are working in the center. These institutions, which is head office and regions, after the implementation of the OSD, were supposed to employ personnel who were in terms of the Public Service Act, so as to allow correctional officials, those who are trained in this regard, to migrate to the correction center. The migration process is at a very snail pace, if at all it happens. In fact, the regional offices need to be disestablished or narrowed in terms of personnel because they are just a duplication of tasks. And in our view, quite a waste of resources that lie at that level. Secondly, failure to determine locked working hours, which is clause 13 of the resolution. The department has failed to determine locked shifts today. This has led to numerous successful labor court initiatives we launched against the department after numerous unilateral attempts to compel our members to perform under unlawful working hours that contradicts the Basic Conditions of Employment Act and the Code of Good Practice on working shifts or hours. This unilateral implementation of averaging of hours in contradiction to law and the PSCBC Resolution 1 of 2007, in that there is no collective agreement on averaging of workers of working hours, which resulted in officials working more hours to extend, resulting in exhaustion and confusion in leave administration, which on its own, the leave administration, resulted in another dispute which is yet to be determined by the relevant sector. Remuneration of Sunday as an ordinary day remains disputed, and a dispute which is currently in the PSCBC on this makes them as an ordinary day remains disputed in a dispute. And this makes where the moral which is already down on the basis that employees feel shortchanged by the department because 5% instead of 1.5% remuneration rate as agreed in the PSBC. However, we have managed to reach so to call it, some sort of consensus to continue engaging in order to find a solution with regard to the shift system, with a view of concluding this engagement. We have managed to reach consensus on the shift system during negotiations, but an agreement in this regard has not yet been signed, so it can't be a consensus as yet. To the fact that there are other matters that are supposed to form part of the agreement, on which sufficient consensus has not been reached as yet. This includes the promotion policy and payment of the backdated overtime duty due to our members. This overtime arises from the fact that the department has compelled our members to work more than 25 hours a week without the collective agreement. This resulted in some employees accumulating overtime to the value of plus minus 70,000 rand, according to the department's calculation. It must, however, be mentioned that the lack of personnel poses a serious challenge in concluding these discussions, because it has been mentioned that the department runs short of approximately 20,000 employees based on the current post establishment, which is now, as we hear, it is being reduced lower to 41,000. However, today, an audit has not yet been conducted to support this claim. The audit was due for completion by December 2011. Recruitment and employment of employees is going to be a tall order, considering the fact that the department is failing colleges, accommodates less than 1,000 trainees in two colleges a year. Also, the fact that the treasurer has given instructions to the department, we are informed, for the reduction of the establishment. It remains to be seen how this dilemma will be dealt with if it's going to be implemented. Bold and creative measures are needed to address this matter, included but not limited to acquiring more training colleges to assist and reducing the current 24-month training period to short courses of at least 12 months for basic training. As an interim remedy, a 5-day establishment should be considered whilst the employment of more personnel is speeded up. The policy on 7 days, there is no policy currently. A task team in this regard was formed to operationalize the 7-day establishment, which we formed part of, but it was abandoned by the department when the opted for the unilateral implementation of the waiting time, which we challenged as we outlined above. Work in this regard has been at an advanced stage until the unfortunate abandoning of the process. The other effect of the above is that failure to address this matter remains in the department on the basis that the employees are expected to safeguard and render rehabilitation programs with limited resources, thus compromising safety and security of the officials and the public at large, of which in many instances this results in assaults on inmates and employees, escapes, and unnatural deaths. Due to insufficient personnel, non-policy of 7-day establishments, deficiency of consistent applications of 7-day model and lack of uniform shift patterns, the implementation resulted in long hours and overtime, which is not remunerated, as we speak, which resulted in numerous disputes in court and court incidents in the process, and this affects the required service delivery in the department. So basically, 90% of this agreement is either in the corridors of court or in the arbitration channel. The unilateral implementation of averaging of hours resulted in violation of working conditions of employees, whereby they ended up working more hours, causing exhaustion and low morale. This was made worse by the fact that the department was failed to remunerate officials for overtime work beyond 40 and 45 and 40 hours a week or within a 7-day period. It's therefore incomprehensible that the department would, on a yearly basis, return millions of francs to Treasury when it's faced with such huge challenges in neglecting its employees in the process, whereby posts at the top structure have been created, funded, and filled quicker than it happens at the lower level. Now, officials and students on this year's implementation of the OSP. Phase one, this phase was implemented to the fullest in accordance with the address. The second phase, which is called what is that? The implementation of the second phase, recognition of experience as being wrongly implemented to extent that experience and long-serving most loyal correctional officials remain stranded because the first phase implementation has put them equal to newly employed officials. Recognition of experience was meant to address this aspect, but due to misinterpretation or misapplication, despite the fact that it's being engaging, which we tend to take it as for delivery, this has not been addressed. Spokesman declared a dispute on the matter, and already the department has been found through arbitration to have wrongly interpreted and wrongly applied the second phase of OSD. Spokesman was of the view that the department will consider reviewing that arbitration award and following the disgruntlement, as this will not be good. Will not be good in terms of building morale among the long-serving and experienced officials. But regrettably, the department took it on review to the Labour Court. While it acknowledged that the department has that right to review any arbitration award, it wanted to see the department review each and every award that it issued against them. This is an impression that the department has an unwritten policy of reviewing everything that comes its way. I missed that one. Okay, Chair. At this stage, or at the time of sending this communique or the submission, we did not have the outcome of the Labour Court. Now, this is what we are saying. We are waiting to see that what the department will do this time around. Now that the Labour Court has ruled in our favour on the recognition of experience, we hope the department will not appeal the decision of the court, because if they do, perception of the unwritten policy to review will stick. That's what is not in the written submission, Chairperson. As I said, when we send the submission, we did not have the court outcome. Generally, after the implementation of the overpricing specific dispensation, the department should have, as part of managing change, aligned its policies, processes and practices and so on with the new development. Case in point includes, among others, lack of friends in Sydney for authority identification, resulting in disputes and contradicting positions from the department with contradicting internal communications about this matter. We also having disputes around the country on this matter, where the department changed seniority dates of employees interpreting OSD implementation as promotion, and later changed their stance agreeing with us that the OSD implementation should not be interpreted as promotion. The dispute was later settled on arbitration, of which some of the members are still outside, I must mention, on this matter, who have been charged for refusing to wear promotion, to wear rank insignia which they were told they are promoted, and yet it does not. So the department is either confused or it's simply the case of the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing, or both. For instance, the department lost 3 arbitration awards on nurses. This was presided on by 3 different commissioners, but they took all of them on review. There was an arbitration award regarding reinstated student of correctional officials, whose salaries were adjusted wrongly on the department's claim that they were supposed to be treated like new appointees, instead of being treated like those employed prior to the 1st of July 2009, which was part of the implementation of the OSD. There's a clear evidence that these were employed in the year 2008, and this was presented to the department, but they ignored this and ended up within the arbitration level. These officials ended up thinking that they joined a wrong employer who seemed not too happy when employees enjoy financial upward mobility. This was made worse by the fact that the department does not have a promotion policy which can boost the morale to the members. Thirdly, lack of clear distinction between categories of employees who fall under non-center base and center base structure. This is not consistent with the department. In some management areas, a certain category of employees fall under center base, while the same category of employees in other management areas fall within non-center base. Fourthly, in career path, plus 9, the department has failed since 2009 to date to create salary grades which were going to allow for longer career progression opportunities and facilitate movement to other work streams. Despite the fact that we must enforce this as a labor union, it boggles one's mind why we must always declare disputes in order for collective agreements to be implemented in the department. It raises questions whether some within the department understand what collective agreement means. There has also been a failure to create tools for the different work streams with focused attention to a rehabilitation and security program. These work streams were to focus on, amongst others, the following: advanced production and include specialized case officers, specialized integration, specialized security, senior security officer, team leader, and on supervisors that would have included senior reintegration officer and case management supervisors, so on and so on. The department did not only fail to create this post, but they also could not determine the number of posts required to deliver on the above mentioned streams, and others not mentioned yet. Hence the argument that the department is not committed to deliver on the mandate as given to them, which culminates in failure to deliver on rehabilitation programs and safety and security of the South African citizens, and needless to mention the safety of our members. Pay and grade progression. This consists of pay progression 3% binary, and grade progression with different qualifying years, 8 and 10 years. Again, the department wrongly implemented this provision of the agreement. Instead of paying 3% to the employees, they paid less to others without an explanation. Fortunately, this time they avoided another dispute of acknowledging their mistake, but to date, this matter has still not been rectified. They further denied the 3% pay progression to those officials who are on personal notice, claiming that in terms of the DPSA document, which was 2003, to those officials who were, which is based on agreement prior to the 2009 agreement on OSD, these employees do not qualify. It boggles one's mind why the department failed to read the 2010 DPSA Minister's Directive based on the 2009 OSD, which clearly provides for granting of pay progression throughout the salary levels without exclusion of those on personal notice. This is another necessary dispute awaiting to take place. Unfortunately, due to the fact that the department does not have a promotion policy. After rank and length promotion was abolished in 2001 at the PSCBC, upward mobility of correctional officials depends solely on appointments to advertise posts. Only the grade progression does not address the disgruntlement of lack of upward mobility, because the first qualifying year for the implementation was 2001, but no one qualified due to the 5 and 10 year as minimum requirement. And only those on lower levels will qualify after 5 or 10 years of consistent above performance results. Reduction of the qualifying years may uplift the morale of the employees. Remuneration of overtime. Due to the implementation of averaging of work or working hours without a collective agreement, and due to recent settlement reached in the dispute declared on this matter, the department finds itself owing thousands of money to its employees, ranging from around 30,000 to 70,000 per individual. This is despite the reality that from the beginning, the department was informed that the implementation of averaging of working hours was unlawful, but this fell on deaf ears, and possibly because this thing is about either the right hand does not know what the left hand does, or some managers at the lower level are confused, or simply have no clue of what they are doing, or it was simply a question of lack of leadership. The failure to remunerate overtime to officials who performed more than 45 or 40 hours a week led to total lowering of morale, and the perception that the GPWSDC resolution 2 of 2009 was not well thought of by ourselves in the department, when in fact the contrary is true. Given the number of disputes we won against the department on both collective and individual disputes, including disputes about post-advertisers higher salary package started the implementation of the OSD, but appointments on the same post confirmed at the lower salary package than what was advertised on the claim that these posts now fall on non-center post establishment instead of center-based establishment. It's difficult to understand why the department did not withdraw these posts and readvertise them to avoid this unnecessary dispute. Having said this, we've got the following recommendations to remedy the situation. One, bold and creative employment measures of personnel to address shortfall or shortage of staff. Speedy conclusion of negotiations in shift patterns and working hours that comply with the law, the conditions of the Employment Act and others. A return to the 5-day, 7-day establishment, whilst recruitment and employment of more personnel takes place to implement the 45-hour shift. The increment of the establishment and speedy reduction, recruitment on filling of the vacant positions, not the current reduction which is taking place. Agreement on reduction of the years required for grade protection. Speedy resolution on leave administration and remuneration of Sunday work as an ordinary working day. And the speedy creation and filling of specialized posts and salary grades. And the resolution on the implementation of this is no longer an issue because the Labour Court has ruled on it, and we will get the department's commitment today here that they will not take it on review. And as an organisation, we believe that the employees, as stakeholders, are the leaders in achieving great objectives for the department. Therefore, it's crucial that they be regarded and treated as such. We further rally behind the spirit of extensive consultation in as far as the processes of this nature are concerned. I think I've made it clear in abundance. Thank you very much.
And you have on Secretary, but does possibly anybody else want to add to this matter, or will you engage when we discuss it? We'll put an opportunity later if you want to engage. Is that fine? Can we then move over to PSA and hear what you have to say, sir? Thank you, Chairperson. Respected Chairperson, Member of Parliament, Members, Management of Correctional Services, and also members of POP Group, and also the delegation of the PSA. Thank you for this opportunity. The Occupational Specific Dispensation, OSD, for correctional officers is regulated in terms of GPSSPC Resolution 2 of 2009 and was signed on 24th of June 2009. This same agreement makes provision for a 45-hour work week in order to support the new 7-day establishment model and was earmarked to be the beginning of a new era for correctional facilities in South Africa. The PSA didn't sign GPSSPC Resolution 2 of 2009, as it didn't agree with some principles within the then drafted agreement within the negotiation process. The implementation of the Occupational Specific Dispensation for Correctional Services employees. Correctional service employees were among many state employees from different categories of occupations within the public service that anxiously awaited substantial improvement in their remuneration after the signing of PSCBC Resolution Agreement 1 of 2007. The Sectoral Bargaining Councils were tasked to negotiate OSDs for the various occupations with the aim to retain skilled employees and secondly to attract new recruits to state departments. The newly created unique salary structures as agreed upon by the then majority parties didn't impress correctional officials at all. Employees were used to work 12 days on and 2 days off, and according to the PSCBC Resolution 1 of 2007, received overtime for work performed on Saturdays and Sundays. Taking in consideration the previous salary packages, together with the monthly overtime that was in place since the 1970s, employees received less income after the signing of the OSD agreement. Case studies in some instances showed a decline of income up to 1,500 rand per month. Many correctional officers with their households are currently still struggling to adapt to the lesser monthly remuneration. Some political parties in this portfolio alluded to the inadequate salaries of correctional officers at its meeting on 5 May 2010. Discussions between the leadership of the union and some of its members in correctional services regarding the high level of temporary incapacity leave disputes revealed that the lack of real decent income together with a unique, stressful working environment contributes to the high level of sick leave experience in correctional services. The PSA represents almost 226,000 state employees across the total sphere of government departments, and the union experiences the most toll disputes in correctional services. The huge number of genuine disputes that entails every D matter are a true indication that employees are not satisfied with the employer's application of the OSD resolution. The PSA declared many disputes on behalf of its members, which includes, amongst others, the recognition of experience. This dispute was recently arbitrated. The President, I just need to make a correction. It was arbitrated last year, and the arbitrator ruled that DCS wrongfully implemented the recognition of experience. The department implemented 3% notch for every 5 years of service minus appointment requirement from the first notch of service level and not to the new translation notch of the OSD, which led to the majority of workers not qualifying for the recognition of experience. Members were frustrated because of the wrongful implementation since April 2010. And to date, the Department of Correctional Services didn't correct the implementation despite the arbitration award. And Chairperson, I want to add the employer, DCS, served a notice of intent to review. But up until yesterday afternoon, the affidavit, the founding affidavit, was not filed at the Labour Court. After so many months, we have now instructed our attorneys to make an application to dismiss the review application, the intent to review by the department, because they are delaying, in our view, the process of reviewing the award. Improvement in career paths are improved through the introduction of a set of salary grades attached to the post in identified categories. More than 2 years after the signing of the OSG for correctional officials, the Department of Correctional Services has not created CB2 and CB3 posts as agreed upon by the then majority parties of the GPSSPC within Resolution 2 of 2009. Correctional officers are furious, to say the least, because the allocation of space progression as part of the OSD will not benefit a huge number of officials because they qualify to move to the new salary band, but no post has been created. The PSA has registered this as council, and if no movement is generated from this process, the PSA will again approach the court to assist. Educators within the Department of Correctional Services. Parties agreed to extend the ELRC Agreement 1 of 2008 to educators within the Department of Correctional Services. It took the department months to apply the provisions of the ELRC Agreement. The DAC dated implementation only addressed the unique salary structure, but subsequent agreements of the ELRC with reference to recognition of experience was not extended to educators employed by the Department of Correctional Services. This currently causes educators in DCS to apply for migration to normal centre-based official posts if no extension of relevant ELRC agreements are going to be extended to the DCS Resolution 2 of 2009. What the members of Parliament, what the educators are saying outside there, we are educators, we are in this profession. But because there is no extension of our sectoral, the ELRC agreement on us, we want to become normal correctional officers. We rather migrate to become a warder as an educator. Because the lack of enforcing the ELRC agreement makes correctional officers sometimes be paid more than the educators. So we need to extend those agreements that have already been signed. It's just a matter of compliance. Migration of correctional officers, the OSD agreement makes provision for centre and non-centre based officials, either to migrate to centre or to non-centre based. There are a huge number of individual grievances regarding migration, and some already were referred for arbitration, and in some instances, founding affidavit has been registered at the Labour Court. In our submission, that measuring the total number of disputes concerning the OSD, and that these disputes represent all categories discussed above, it's clear that members are most unsatisfied with the progress made with the implementation of the OSD for correctional officers and professional occupations functioning within the correctional services arena. Chairperson, the impact of the 7-day establishment on working conditions. During the early phases of negotiations, the membership of the PSA mandated our negotiating team not to agree to a 7-day establishment if the result would be worsening of working conditions. The majority membership of the PSA within correctional services didn't accept the proposed agreement and subsequently led to the PSA not signing the OSD agreement that also catered for a 7-day establishment. The members regarded the one clause within the OSD agreement that dealt with the 7-day establishment as an open check that could impact negatively on the working conditions that had been on the working conditions that had been after a struggle of many years. The clause within the agreement that dealt with the 7-day establishment didn't give any direction to shift. Members inmate rations, staffing levels, provision of leave, averaging of working hours, to mention a few. PSA wishes to discuss some of the mentioned worsening factors. The 45-hour work week. In our view, in the history of the public service, working hours in any specific week were 40 hours. The Department of Correctional Services was no different, as its employees worked 40 hours in a week. except for the additional stress and strain on the center-based employees, who after the implementation of the seven-day establishment in 2009, have to work more than 20 hours more a month than the rest of the public service for no extra income. It also doesn't support the government's call for job creation. If institutions in the country increase the hours of working time in the work as compulsory, it will definitely have negative impact on job creation. It's also our informed view that if this increase in working hours generates more pressure and stress to the employees in an already abnormal working environment. Stress and the high level of pressure in the working environment with added hours of work are serious factors that are contributing to the high toll applications, the temporary incapacity leave applications, sick leave in correctional services. It's also noted amongst our members that the deviation between center-based and non-center-based officials makes the rostering of day-to-day activities a problem. In the past, office personnel were utilized to assist with unlocking in the morning, assisting in serious incidents at present during the day, and also lock up in the afternoon. The office personnel are now regarded as non-center-based officials who work different shift patterns than employees who work within correctional sentences. This deviation from uniformity among working streams in the department creates unnecessary obstacles in rostering and management of facilities. It's our submission that the department should look into a process of declaring all non-center-based officials center-based officials and have a united workforce that works 40 hours a week. Human resources. One of the aims of the seven-day establishment was to give effect to the provisions of the white paper on correction of rehabilitation. On the forefront, to move away from penal-orientated institutions. The vast majority of prisons in our country were built by the old apartheid regime for penal purposes, rather for rehabilitation purposes, as part of the unit management principles. The old buildings with few electronically designed functions make it labor-intensive institutions. Unlike the triple P facilities, public-private partnerships. Furthermore, taking into consideration the cut of almost 5,000 posts in 2010, reducing the establishment that were designed for already operating penal institutions and expecting afterwards to effectively operate 7-day rehabilitation centers is far-fetched. It boils basically down to the following. The Department of Correctional Services are expected to manage the implementation of a 7-day establishment with rehabilitation programs as prescribed within the white paper in penal institutions, with almost 10% less staff, where investigations from work studies indicate the need for correction centers and 18,000 employees to successfully implement this new system. Pressure from employer principals to make this new system work resulted in an inadequate shift system being implemented, with escapes that negatively influence the past record of keeping detainees behind bars. 9 detainees escaped from Westville, Durban, and 40 detainees escaped from Harrismith in 2010, where the investigation revealed inadequate shift systems in place. As work study advertised the department and advised the department, and our experience has been in engaging our members in this matter, the suggestion to make this establishment work has been employed the required staff needed to adhere to the true principles as contained in the white paper. Disregarding our basic employment rights, labor unions, including the PSA, appointed attorneys to take action and who, in some instances, approached the labor court to interdict the department in order to ensure compliance with the basic conditions of employment act. The employer had to reverse shift systems and patterns that grossly impacted negatively on the rights of our members. Employees on ground level working already in a stressful and pressurized institution are frustrated to say the least for having to adapt to new shift patterns on a weekly basis in order to try this 7-day 45-hour work, work out overtime, and make it succeed with their basic employment rights being disregarded. In many instances, employees work more than 45 hours in a week in order to adhere to the 14-hour meal rule as prescribed by Section 8 of the Correctional Services Act, 111 of 98. The lack of an agreement that will empower the department to average working hours, the averaging of working hours agreement, Section 12 of the Basic Conditions Employment Act, makes it impossible to roster employees averaging 45 hours over an agreed period. During February last year, the department was interdicted from changing shift systems and until an agreement could be reached for averaging of working hours. The negotiation process dealt deadlock in April 2011. The PSA respects the dispute resolution processes as prescribed for within the Labour Relations Act, Act 66 of 1995. In conclusion, with the myriad of challenges facing the Department of Correctional Services in making the 7-day establishment work in order to ensure the successful rehabilitation of offenders in its care and as prescribed in the White Paper, the employer needs to appoint new recruits as a matter of haste. The PSA will continue to actively support the mandate of rehabilitation in our facilities, but cannot agree to a system where employees' rights are disregarded or situations where the safety of our members are placed at risk. I thank you.
Hi, thank you, Meneer. Can I ask, what percentage of employees are represented by POPCRO and what percentage are represented by PSA and what percentage are other? Just to get a sense of the extent of this disgruntlement or the possible consequences. What is your representation in the workplace POPCRO? Roughly, estimate. Our record shows correctional services. We have about 11,500 employees. But taking in consideration that it is a chamber total, but it needs to be negotiated by the OSB agreement in council, GBWSPC. PSA is the majority with 50% of the GBWSPC. We're saying 44,000 employees are unionized. That's what we're saying. 44,000 are unionized. How many are unionized? Are we saying less than 5,000? Do you have an idea? How many are unionized? I'm asking this question because when we start discussing, we must not discuss in a vacuum. We must discuss with what the potential impact is going to be. Alright, so you don't have to respond now, so if somebody can think about it, but I'm saying that roughly you said 44,000 of the 45,000 are unionized or somewhere close to that. Can you also just anybody give us a percentage of work or to call center based versus non center based, roughly? Has anybody got an idea of what percentage are center based and what percentage are non center based? Oh, if you don't have it, it's fine. But if you help us in our discussion, you don't have an idea. So if you can't talk about top heavy and not have an idea that there are so many that are center based and not center based, I'm just asking. If you don't have it, it's fine. If somebody can get us that type of information, it makes our discussion more productive when we get to discussion. So, but we can wait for that. Can we hand over to the department and then we will open up for discussion?
Thank you, Mr. President, and the members of the Portfolio Committee. We also want to reiterate our gratitude, as our social partners have done, for the members of the Portfolio Committee to afford us an opportunity to present progress made in the resolution of challenges on the implementation of the 7-day establishment system and the occupational specific dispensation implementation. Those are the two topics we're going to be addressing in our response. Chairperson, I should hasten to add that the organized labor has alluded to awards that they awarded to the Department of Correctional Services in favor of the employees. I will, at the end of my presentation, which I hope is going to respond to all the issues raised by the members of the organized labor and the questions that are expected by the portfolio committee to be responded to by the department, I'd just like to request for the indulgence of the chairperson to allow my colleagues, Dr. Lerat Lowe and Mr. Tekishaw, to address the questions of the hour. Can we move on with the presentation? Our presentation, as I stated, on the 7-day establishment, we have the following contents, including the people, the background, the viewpoint of organized labor, and the viewpoint of the Department of Correctional Services. The process of negotiations, the estimated financial implications of the organized labor overtime claims, the interim shift model, and the estimated staffing needs, and the way forward on the issues of the 7-day establishment. Chairperson, the purpose here is to give an overview of the negotiations with organized labor and the implementation of the mutual agreement model on the 7-day establishment. Also, an availability of the signed over overarching agreement as alluded to by organized labor when they meet their presentation. We don't have such an agreement as we speak between organized labor and the department. We also talk about recognized organizations, organized labor claim on the stated overtime. As a way of background, Chairperson, the engagement between recognized organized labor and the department, as was indicated in the court order of 11-11, is still in place and there are no changes. The changes on the system model currently in operation. The changes will only be effected once there's an agreement between the department and organized labor. Organized labor is currently stated by Procurement A, they are planning overtime for the week where employees work more than 45 hours per week and do not accept that the model work of 90 hours in 14 days. So it's a cycle of 7 days working and another 7 days of employees being off duty. In this instance, employees who work more than 25 hours in the first week but less than 25 hours in the second week would not have worked the required 90 hours as stated in the PCA and the PPSSPC Resolution 2 of 2009, Clause 17. The viewpoint from the department side of organized labor and about the dedicated time over of things, dedicated overtime claim of organized labor is the major stumbling block in the process to reach an agreement on the proposed model for the future. Organized labor is stressing the point that there are, we don't have an averaging agreement as stated in the PCAA. CAA, where the working hours can be averaged over a period of time. We are in agreement with them that we don't have such an agreement of averaging. The department, from where we are sitting as the officials of the department, is of the view that an averaging agreement is not necessary because the implementation of the current shift model was a joint venture between the department and organized labor in 2009, where organized labor was part of the implementation task team that went through the country to explain and answer questions and motivate to implement the new shift model. The department is also of the view that the implementation of 7-day establishment could not be implemented within 7 days, but within a 14-day cycle or more. In taking into consideration the nature of the 7-day we should consider the specific needs of the Department of Correctional Services and the DP as a state resolution 2 of 2009 close facing 1-3. Still on the status of the 7-day establishment check, the department organizers have, however, reached an in-principle agreement on a number of matters during negotiations, and none of these can, however, be implemented before the dedicated overtime claim of organized labor is addressed. That is the view from organized labor. Chair, the financial estimation, this slide is going to be talking to the financial estimations of overtime claims by organized labor. We are saying as officials of the department representing this LCA, in the event that the court orders us as the department to pay, the claim, overtime claim costs are at 1.3 billion. Dating back from the 1st of July 2009 to date. And this figure grows at an estimated 45 million rand a month. The summary of the identity orders and the title of the claim using the defensive models are displayed in the following slide. That is the identity model. Of correctional services based on the 45-hour week for center-based correctional officials and 40-hour week for non-center-based correctional officials, whereby all the employees rest or are off duty for at least 36 hours a week for the last 12 hours a day. For the center-based correctional officials, we are working on a 5x2, meaning 5 working hours and 2 being off. In this shift model, an employee is expected to perform work for 5 hours a week, and in this regard, a week is any 7-day period commencing on any day. In speeding up the above ideal shift model, and the start of phasing out the current shift system, all correctional centers that is at least 90% personnel and more shall immediately convert to the above ideal shift model. This slide, Chairperson, is trying to illustrate the interim shift model and the ideal shift model where we would like to move to. If you look at the top bullet, which is 2-3-2 shift pattern, it means that it's two days. The employees will be working for 2 days and off for 2 days and work for 2 days, and then the cycle goes like that and work for another 2 days. Employees will work 12-hour shifts starting from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, and from 6 in the evening and to 6 in the morning. This is still an illustration of the shift model. 5-2. The estimated staffing needs, the department and organized labor agreed that a telephone establishment investigation is necessary to determine the staffing needs of the organization. It is, however, estimated that the department means 18,470 additional positions or posts at an estimated cost of 4.8 billion to implement the 12x2 shift and the 5x2 shift model fully. The figures below show the salary levels of people at center base and the number of posts there and the salary averages and the total cost at the right column, which I hope the members of the committee can see. I therefore move on to the way forward on the implementation of seven-day establishment. An agreement is organized here, but it's critical before the department can implement the interim and IDF model. There is a need to consider appointing senior labor law specialists to arbitrate on the matter of the dated overtime claim, because the organized labor and the department don't agree on this interpretation. In the event of a court order to address against the department, this will require compliance from the side of the Department of Correctional Services. On the progress made on the implementation of occupation-specific dispensation for various categories, we are going to talk to the introduction, the status, the course of OSU's implementation up to now, the challenges, and the way forward. Chairperson, on introduction, the department has implemented, as we speak, 9 different occupational specific dispensations. These occupational categories will enhance the implementation of the white paper on corruption with specific reference to offender rehabilitation and community integration. Although part of the rationale for the implementation of the OSP in the public service was to mitigate against the vacancy rate, the department continues to experience high vacancy rates, especially in the specialized skills, or in this case, care skills. This vacancy rate could be attributed to the increased demand versus the limited supply of these categories in the market. Furthermore, the demand posed by the social services environment could also be another contributing factor. If we move forward to the next slide, still on the implementation of the OSP, the DFS has analyzed the implementation of the aspect 9 and specialized OSPs for, that is for artisans, engineers, nurses, social workers, pharmacists, psychologists, educationists, medical officers, and legal officers, which are relevant within the enrollment. However, we have a 10th OSP for environmental practitioners, which is also at this advanced stage of implementation. So it makes the OSP within the Department of Correctional Services to stand at 10. The OSPs are characterized by occupation unique salary scale, which resulted in improved digital packages and telepathic opportunities that are applicable to all public service departments. As you said by the PSCDC Resolution 1 of 2007 that introduced the concept of OSPs in the general public service, effective implementation and management of service dispensations will contribute towards recruitment and retention of the professionals required to provide specialized rehabilitation, psychological, health, vocational, and educational interventions and services to inmates. That is the picture of the skills that are scarce in the department and the vacancies. What I should apologize at last, we didn't state the vacancy in a specific form, but I will mention the figures that we calculated. For medical doctors, we are not doing that. The position that I'm at 12 with 3 vacancies, and that makes us to get 30% vacancy rate. For educationists, we have 386 positions filled with 156 vacancies, which makes us to get 9.7% vacancy rate. For pharmacists, we have filled 34 positions and 22 are vacant. And that makes us to be standing at 9.3%. Finances, positions that are filled finances are 893 with 252 vacancies, which brings us to 32% vacancy rate. Psychologists, we have 63 psychologists appointed with 50 vacancies, and that gives us a 44% vacancy rate. For social workers, we have 508 work bodies and Service and Aging Vacancies, and with that is translated to 35.5% vacancy rate. For as near as the health can see, we are doing very, very badly as the organization. We only have 4 positions filled and 28 vacancies, and that puts us at 87.5% vacancy rate. For us, we have 149 filled and 54 vacant, and that makes us to be at 68% vacancy rate. For legal administration officers, we have 36 positions filled and 14 vacancies and 35% vacancy rate. For environmental officers, all positions are filled at 2, with a number of 2. The challenges, citizens and members of the portfolio committee that we are experiencing as a department, which are associated to the operations of distribution implementation, are as follows. The translation of the paraholder, for example, social workers, is somewhat impacted by the OSD as their notions are lower than the notions they are on. However, this does not apply insofar as psychologists are concerned, as their OSD notions are favorable and translations are considered. As I was saying here, the department gives a service to the correctional officials to do social work. And when they come back with their qualifications in social workers, the salaries of social workers are lower than those of the people who are in the correctional service, who are correctional officials, which makes social workers to be reluctant to translate from correctional officials to social work. The OSD for artisan implementation was correctly done, but has impacted on their security functioning, in that they are now focusing only on performing artisan duties as opposed to dual functioning, because previously, as correctional official, you can work in any position. There is also a group of artisans which is still to be translated into the OSD of artisans as they are not translated to the OSD for correctional officials. However, the correct translation is subject to the outcome of the arbitration. The post establishment was not properly aligned to the organization's structure and tether prior to the implementation of the OSD and the challenge of supervisor positions not being considered for people's. Chair, I must add here that our approved and funded post establishment is standing at 41,000 in 2011. Whereas in Vodinkleider, up to now, it is showing that we are having 47,330 people. Yes, that is the approved establishment, but we are not funded up to 47,330 people. Still, on the challenges in the implementation of the OSD, in almost all the OSDs, the issue of supervisor associations has been problematic in that the positions need to be created and funded before anyone could occupy them. The resolution of the educators, which is referred to as ELRC, has always excluded self educators, and the extension of the resolution to cater for self educators has brought about challenges linked to the standards and norms of educators applicable to the CL. We are saying our brief was to the resolution of this problem or challenges is that the quality of the service must be amended to accommodate issues of translation and appointment requirements. The outcome of the administration will enable the finalization of the assistant translation. The alignment of the post establishment with the all awaiting resolution and the PESA will assist in the post classification and better management of human resources. The creation of supervisor posts as the OSD resolution must be created and funded speedily by the Department of Correctional Services. The extension of the ELRC resolution to disaster educators needs to be approved by the CSA to ensure alignment of educators of public services with the CS. included. Management needs to also supplement effective recruitment strategies, creation and maintenance of working environments that are conducive to the optimal utilization of these professionals. I thank you, honorable members, and returning that of justice, and I don't know if there are other questions. The federalist and then thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just very briefly, I'd like to just say a word or two about the difference in representation between us and POPCRU and CSA and the implementation of the second phase OSD and the recent Labour Court judgment. The Labour Court ruled indeed that the first applicant in this matter was the Minister of Public Service and Administration. DCE is only the second applicant. The issues that were before the court were three issues. The first issue was whether the Minister of Public Service and Administration had the powers in terms of the Public Service Act to issue a directive on how to implement the second phase of the OSD, on which we are in non-agreement. The court ruled on that aspect that on a literal implementation of the Public Service Act, the Minister did not have such powers. I can confirm that the Department of Public Service Administration will be appealing this, since this does not only have an impact on correctional services, but on all other services in terms of the Public Service Act. In terms of correctional services, for instance, you were appointed under the Correctional Services Act, but all your issues on all your conditions of service were actually regulated in terms of Section 96(2) of our Act under the Public Service Act. So such a ruling by court has implication much wider than just the specific directive. So in that aspect, they will be appealing. Then as to whether the court actually ruled on the difference in our interpretation on the second phase of the OAC, no, the court did not rule on that. The court said it didn't have the power, since this comes from a collective agreement, and the correct venue for this will be in arbitration. So he said the differences between us and POPCRU must go for arbitration. So the court didn't actually resolve our difference in interpretation, so it didn't have the power to do that. So I just wanted to clarify that aspect. And the difference in our interpretation is about a 438 million rand difference between the two ways that we look at interpreting the second phase of the OAC. So we will have to go for arbitration to resolve that. The court couldn't resolve that for us. Maybe then just very quickly also on the aspect of the signing of the shift or the averaging agreement. I'm sure Pekisa will speak to that very briefly, but we've actually reached agreement on what must go into that averaging agreement, but as pointed out, again, it comes down to finances as to why I can't sign it, because the unions are linking it to the payment of overtime as they calculated, since we didn't have an averaging agreement. Again, it's difficult in calculating the exact amount of overtime that will have to be paid, because you could understand that if you work more than the 45 hours in 1 week, actually, the next week you work much less than 45 hours. So if we're paying you overtime for the 1 week, the next week you must actually pay us back, because we're currently paying you too much for the next week. Because if you average it out of 14 days, you work a 7-day week. But that's why it becomes a very difficult calculation, and that's why there's still negotiations on how exactly to calculate the overtime. The numbers given there of the 1.3 billion that is announced at the moment is the maximum if we calculate it at the maximum scale. But that's where we are currently in the negotiations, but Lucky is really involved with that. I just wanted to clarify the judgment. Thank you, Chair.
Very much, Chapter 2. My mind was also said, Kev, one needs to clarify the fact that we have been engaging on a number of occasions with regard to the shift systems and patterns. But as correctly stated, we can't move, because this is how they call it an icebreaker for us to be able to pay the backdated overtime. Without the backdated overtime, there's no movement. So that's where we are currently. But suffice to say, the key problem here with regard to that, as in addition to what has been said by my colleague, is that we do not necessarily agree with regard to the interpretation thereof. Our view is if we have a 7-day establishment as per the agreement of Resolution 2 of 2009, ordinarily, logically, you can't work that within 7 days. You need to be able to work within 14 days. That's basically our view. To say You can't want to claim, as it's claimed now by Labour, that within the 10 by 4, for instance, we need to be able to pay 63 minus 4, which is the hours that they work. 63 minus 45. Every week, if we are supposed to pay, we must pay 18 hours per week. 18 hours per week per employee, which in the region of 33,800. That we must pay. But they were fed up by also saying, because the salary is agreement, establishment, we must be able to pay the other three shifts, you know, 7 days you stop, then because there's no basic conditions of employment at agreement, operating agreement, we must also pay the other three days or three shifts, as we call it. So we think, really, if we have the 7 days agreement, establishment agreement, we feel that is catered for within the agreement. And the section, as you corrected, section 13.3 also clarifies that we need to be able to look or consider the specific needs of a center before we can be able to say yes, because there is no everlasting agreement. And as strictly saying, we must be able to pay this thing. So there is a difference of opinions in relation to the interpretation, and we feel strongly that perhaps the labor specialists can be able to assist us to be able to deal with this issue. But nevertheless, we continue engaging on the issue, but currently as we state, as the situation is, it's difficult for us to be able to concede on issues of backdated overtime, as seen by them. I think that is where the crux of the matter is. But other than that, the draft agreement is very clear. It deals with a number of issues that we agree with. We agree with, and we have time frames in which we're supposed to be able to implement those things. In particular, the issues of capacity, the staff issue, we're very clear that indeed we must do that. We even went further by saying, because of the colleges, that they have 1,232, we must add that to come in 4 phases, which means per year we'll be able to deliver around 3,000 something every year in order for us to be able to deliver the capacity. And another agreement that which has been taken was to say we must permanently appoint those people that come from the college, on condition that they meet the requirements, of course. But I'm saying it's no more like we said, if they are finished, they must go and sit at home, and then from there on, if they stay, then we can be able to call them. We have dealt with a number of issues, and we're in the process of really agreeing with them on a number of issues. The only thing is, how do we go about it as a collective? Because, of course, there is intention, but the only thing is space and the how can fasten the process in order for us to be able to achieve some of these things that we have agreed upon. But suffice to say, Chairperson, that we'll be able to respond to some of the questions that are there, I think.
No, thank you very much. Maybe to all of you, we need to indicate that from where we sit, you are working in the peace and stability environment. So as long as you are bickering amongst each other, it threatens the peace and stability of this country. That's where I want to start. As long as you're bickering, it threatens the peace and stability of this country. The second point that I want to make is that we are not sitting here in any sort of court or arbitration. Let's make that clear. So we're really not going to discuss the understanding or the interpretation of this law or that law or this clause. It was good that you guys gave it to us that we at least know what it is that we're complaining about, but we're not going to pronounce on that. For us, what is important is the effect or the impact of this impasse that you guys are having on service delivery. And that's what we want to discuss. Because, sir, towards the end you said, we all agree we must do this, we must do that, and we must do that. That statement means that nothing is being done now because we must do it. So now nothing is being done. And that can't be acceptable. Because why are we paying you? What are you guys getting paid for if we must do and it's not being done now? And that is the question that we need to ask. What is the implication of this to-ing and fro-ing on rehabilitation? What is the implication of this to-ing and fro-ing on the safety of both the official and the offender? What is the implication of this to-ing and fro-ing on the safety and security of South African gentlemen? Because that's what we're talking about, really. And nobody is saying to us that this is the focal point that, we all must be concerned about, and not reducing in any way the need for everybody's basic right to be trampled upon and so on. That must happen, and that we are assuming will be dealt with somewhere else. But ours is to deal with his correctional services doing what he's supposed to do. Because you're coming to us next month and asking us for a budget. You're asking us for a budget on the basis of this program, and that program, and that program, and that program. That's what you're asking us for a budget for. You come to us today and you say, well, actually, we've got an icebreaker, or whatever you are calling it, that we need to first overcome. Ingono mato, that you overcome that before you come and ask us for money. Is that not the logical thing? Because why come and ask us for money if you can't overcome these things that are causing you not to perform? This is how serious the strategy is. So when we open up for discussion, we really are not interested, maybe only Mr. Max, because he's an advocate, but the rest of us are interested, what are the implications of service delivery? Rehabilitation, getting people out of their cells and working. Because from that one, we're not negotiating. We can't have people sitting in their cells 23 hours. They must be out there earning their keep in our facility. And if it means that they can't do it because somebody is saying that we must still decide on, how we classify artisans, that can't be acceptable. Because we go to our facilities in any and all of them, sir. Our facilities are less than 100% utilized. I'm talking about whether it's the bakery in Boxer, whether it is the workshops in Pretoria. None of them are 100% utilized, and when we ask the question, we are told because there's a lack of architects. So we have spent money in putting these facilities in place because the white paper demands that we do that, and we all agree with it, but then it's been stalled because somebody or all of you here can't agree on whether the artisan must get paid X or get paid Y. It can't continue. So those are the questions that I think we must deal with. I just wanted to clarify that we're not going to even entertain the interpretation. But ours is, are you doing what you should be doing? And if you're not doing what you should be doing, what do we do about it as ours? Because we can't sit by and pretend that all is rosy when it's not rosy. We have a constitutional duty to be able to say the executive is failing us. Because that's what you are. Part of the executive, and you're failing us. And as the legislature, we've got the duty to say that and to recommend to Parliament accordingly. So, having said that, I'm hoping that we really don't get bogged down in the legality, but let us talk about what is expected and the consequences of not dealing with that. I know Mr. South and then Baba Ndlovu, or everybody else to speak, all right? South will be followed by Baba Ndlovu. And Paliso, Guenya, Advocate Max, Senet, and then the Honorable Vincent Makakula. He's got a good name. Mr. Bell.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to the people who presented here. The first point that I'd just like to get some clarity on, would it not seem to me that the term 7-day establishment is actually a misnomer. Actually, you're talking about a 14-day establishment, because it only works, if I understand the argument correctly, if it's averaged over a 14-day period. So maybe we're talking past one another when you talk about a 7-day establishment. But that's just an observation. The rather more crucial aspect is that this conversation, I find it difficult to take place because there are profoundly different views about how many employees we're actually talking about. Popcrew's submission said that talking about reducing the employees to 31,000. I want to know whether that's true. The department's interpretation says that in order to give effect to the post-establishment, they require a further 18,430 employees. I'm quite frankly confused about how many we're actually talking about here in order, as the chairperson says, to get effective service delivery on the ground. What is the staff establishment that we need in order to apply a 14-day establishment, whatever you're going to call it, but in order to get service delivery in satisfactory conditions that do not endanger the safety of the employees and which are going to ensure that we have effective service delivery on the ground. And
before you go on that one, let's deal with that one and I'll allow you another one. Can we talk about the ideal capacity? Any question? Let's start with the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have, as a department, an approved establishment, approved as a budget establishment of 41,911. And we were saying before, when I was presenting, that we need a plus 18,000 in order for us to be fully implementing the 7-day establishment. But I must also add, Chairperson, that we had learners who, like we said, in our colleges last month, more than 9,000. The department, 900, sorry. The department has resolved that all those learners have to be absorbed on condition that they don't have another course. So if we look at our funded establishment of 41, we are sitting at a vacant rate of about 5%. It's just that in Vulindlela, the fact that busy cleaning up now, in Vulindlela, we also lost the positions that are approved within this but not yet funding. I think it's the position, it's some of the things that we'll be asking money for in the future to fully fund the 47,000 establishment of the bank.
Okay, how much?
No, hold on, let me just get this clear. What you're saying to us, you're on 41, ideally you need an extra 80, that will take it about 60,000. So that's what you are saying. 60,000 people you require to be able to implement this thing that you're talking about. And currently it's a sort of 41,000. Organized labor, is that more or less correct? I mean, are we talking the same language? Because that's the point that the staff is asking. How many warm bodies do we require to make the white paper a reality and not just a paper exercise? You are saying 41,000 extra 18, which takes us around about 60. Is that the figure that you can work on realistically? Thanks, Mr. Chairperson.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. And then I just want some clarity about, because I don't understand it myself. How is it possible for an employee of the department to get more money? Because it seemed to me that the one thing is that you have to work for a period of consistent good work before you get a salary notch increase, or you have to apply for a job at a higher salary grade. That there's no normal career path development where one can expect after next year you're going to get slightly more than you've got this year, and the year after you're going to get slightly more than the year after that. What is the situation currently applicable to an average person that locks the cell at night?
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I respond to that? The current OSD's letter that we are implementing, we actually, we've done away with the salary level, but the grade, you are actually given more grades through which you progress if you perform well and time goes on, apply the necessary experience. So it is actually taken care of in the directive.
We just heard that those grades haven't been created. Is that true?
The grades that I don't think it's the what we said in our presentation there was that we are it's the supervisory grades that we are implement that are really creating. By this grade, there is this normal grade that I'm thinking about that you are able to move from one grade to another within the same level. Because what the directives have done now is that there are two packages that you get, either on production level or supervisory level. So within this grade, you can move from one to three, and then if you qualify for the supervisory position, then you move into the supervisory position. But you do get the 3% by annual if you qualify. So that is taken care of.
Just off of an idea, I see you shaking your head. Do you disagree with what is being said?
Chairperson, yes. In our presentation, we have indicated that grade progression is currently not taking place by the non-creation of CB2 and CB3 both since 2009. Actually, what happened is you've got on the production level, you've got three grades, and you can progress with pay progression in that grade up. But we are making a study last week in the Western Cape alone. Now, we must remember the OSD agreement indicates that we want to retain experienced members to be employed. We don't want to lose them. Now, what happened in this province alone in the Western Cape, more than 200 members did not qualify to move up in the grade because they're already on the top. It's the guys with 50 years and 55 years of experience. Now they must have a career pathing which is covered for in the OSD. But the posts have not been advertised for them to move to the different grade. And that is what we are saying. There is no grade progression. There is pay progression in one grade, but not career pathing to the next grade. Because there is no, there's absence in advertisement of posts. That is our position, Jeff.
When are you advertising folks, and why are you not advertising folks? Because you yourself said that it's the creation of these supervisory posts that needs to happen. The question is, when are you doing it? Why haven't you done it? Especially that the President spoke about reducing poverty. He spoke about dealing with unemployment. He spoke about equality. I mean, these are the things that are in the State of the Nation agenda. These are the three focal points that we're talking about. Unemployment, poverty, equality. Here we are saying there's a need to create supervisory posts, DCS. Can you explain why are you not doing it, or what is the whole of it? Is it treasury? Is it lack of will from your side? Why are those posts not being created? Never mind the fact that your people are standing, but I mean this is just a directive of creating posts and we seem to be getting stuck
in there. Can you explain it? Thank you, Chairman. The Department of Correctional Services is currently in the process of reviewing its structure, and so as to align it to our deliverables. And the...
Hold on, sorry to interrupt. You said you're busy reviewing your structure. Your colleague next to us just now said, that you want to create those things. Now, would you not review first, and then the review would inform everything else that you're doing? How do you expect, what would they say to us that we are about to create hope, and your colleague next to you says we're going to review? What happens if your review says we don't need those hope?
Then you said the review is also to ensure that positions are created at a correct level and for the deliverable, and the number of positions that must still be created. And Chairperson, you recall that we have an establishment or a structure that we are using in the structure approved in 2003. That was even before the implementation of the 7-day establishment and the OSDs. Therefore, the implementation of 7 days and OSDs is making sure that we need to revisit the structure to make sure that it supports both the 7-day implementation and OSDs in order for us to continue as a department to deliver on our mandate of rehabilitation, correction, and
when are you going to finish your review so that we can see these folks being advertised? You can see them at the advertising. You said you're going to review. Can you give us a time frame of when this review will be done? And finalize it.
Thank you, Chair, for that. We do have a proposed structure which was supposed to be considered last weekend by the senior management, that is the NetManco. That meeting was postponed. We do have a proposed structure in place.
So perhaps you can conclude if you have anything. If none, then Baba Ndogo.
I'm a little bit confused, Chairperson. But I'm trying to follow the discussion very well here. I want to start with this last form now. Overview of the structures and the creating of jobs. The agreement was signed in 2009. And we are talking about one of about 18,000 people that are needed to work. In order to make sure that in order to make sure that the capital remains is fixed to around about 50,000. Now, calculating from 2009 up to today, that means that for the escape that is taking place is minimum. It's just the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg that is happening on the ground. That's the first thing that I'm worried about. The second thing is what you said, Chairperson, that is the creation of jobs and so on and so forth, which is coming from Solna. It is the city department that has a problem. It went to the negotiation table and signed the agreement and agreed to move from this phase to that phase, without knowing exactly where they are. And they find themselves to be running short of human resources at the end of the day, when the agreement has already been signed. And the people who are at the workplace are suffering because the agreement has already been signed. Now, whose fault is this? Is it the fault of the people who signed the agreement? In other words, the fault of the person, because they signed the agreement prior to understand exactly what they were talking about, or is the fault of those people who agreed before they implemented it? Because the problem we have is that both citizens and all parties agree that there is an agreement, but the problem is the implementation. That's where I'm having a problem. How can the first one agree to sign the agreement where the other one is not yet sufficiently have a human resource to implement the agreement? That's the first question. The second question is that, how can we talk about
reviewing the structure after 3 years of deciding what they are finished. That's my problem I'm creating. Therefore, if the meeting has to go last week, we don't know when it takes it, maybe next year, we'll still have this short leg in between, every now and then. That's my two questions. If I can get a response on the third, I will be able to understand exactly where we are.
The first one is, this OSD is not something from yesterday, it's from 2009. Today we have been told that we are reviewing it so that it can fit into what we had agreed upon in 2009. And his question is, why is it 3 years delay when we have signed this thing then? The second one to all of you is, you go into some negotiation or discussion, you agree on something, only to find out that what you agreed upon is not implementable, because you don't have the one body. Why are you guys doing this? From all of you, what is happening? I think those are the questions Baba Joe was asking. Now,
thank you. We'll write it back in. The agreement, when it was concluded, it was meant to silence people. It was meant to silence people. This we realized when these court battles started, and hence we had the court battles. It was not meant to be implemented in the when it was done. It was meant to end the strife. Having said that, Chair, now obviously if you sign something and you did not do that start away that you are talking about, this is what you take it. Now, so that you don't implement that, because if it is not meant to implement it anyway, you will challenge everything which is the content of that agreement. Or you will dispute everything which is in the agreement. Hence you are sitting where you are sitting. There is wrong in front of you, that's one. Now, in the process, having realized that we've been made to jump from one to the other for nothing, we came with some mechanism, intervention, help in terms of compromising there and there to make it work. But still, you have people who would come to this parliament, to come here and say to you, no, we do not agree with that Labour Court judgment because we must still go to arbitration. We didn't know we are coming here to negotiate, but we are coming here to talk about the implementation. What are the obstacles in implementing the invitation there of the department in terms of service delivery. That's what we should be talking about. Not how sharp you are legally to defeat you. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I need to indicate that there is a little bit of a challenge which would want to demonstrate to the members of the committee. The agreement that was reached in 2009 and before, if you can look at all the colleagues that are sitting here, are literally new. It is not an excuse at all, but the fact is that there are officials in this, senior managers who have been part and parcel of the discussion prior. Hence, I think even the unions would know that they were discussing with certain members. So it would be a little bit of a challenge if we really have to respond to letters that involve the discussions of those resolutions, whereas we are not briefed of those the content of those discussions, but also not be part and parcel of that. We are taking responsibility because we cannot say that we don't account for what has happened. But I'm just wanted to raise with Honourable Chairperson that it is going to be a challenge. I mean, we have not been part and parcel of those discussions. However, the only thing that we can be able to respond with confidence, then what is it that we do moving going forward from now, based on whatever that has happened? Thank you.
You see, let's say this to the department. One, DCS is an institution and it's not an individual. Individuals are going to come and go. So, those that started these negotiations were negotiating on behalf of DCS and not on behalf of their agenda. And therefore, DCS has a legal obligation to implement what has been agreed upon. That's the first part that I mentioned. The second point, Mr. Hassanok, and I agree with you that you are new. But it's not only about being responsible, it is accountability. Those that took this decision then, that discussed with these people, are still in the department as we speak. Why are they not being held accountable? Why are they not being dismissed? Why are they still getting performance bonuses? Because if I ask you now, who was making those negotiations? You may even give me the name. And I'm sure if I ask them for to go and find out how many of those people have received performance bonuses, they would all have received performance bonuses. So it's not just about saying we are new. What are you doing about those that have been here in the past? And that's what I want you guys to come and tell me. Who has been part of this negotiation for the past 3 years? And of those that have been part of this negotiation, for how many years have they received performance bonuses? And that information we need next week, Wednesday. Because we're no longer going to hide behind it was done by Vincent yesterday. If Vincent is still in the employ of government, he must be named and shamed, and he must be blacklisted from being employed in government. That is my stance. And if he's still in DCS, must be gone. Because you can't get performance bonuses, and today we're sitting and we're saying there is no service delivery, Baba Ndlovu, because it was taken by somebody, and that person is still in our employ, and we're doing nothing about it. So, if you guys can give us, Terence Rasaroke, who those individuals were that were negotiating. In future, we are also asking DCS, when you come and brief us on a subject, bring the people that were part of this initiative, even if they are no longer in that position today. Because this thing of saying it was done by self yesterday, therefore we can't answer, it defeats accountability in Parliament. If I'm today the DG, let me bring whoever was the DG yesterday, if he's still in the employment. Baba, we will continue and we'll continue. Here, Baba.
The last response to your question, I think it's being in the all members now, because now we have a problem of continuing. Because I will tell you why. Not that I'm disrespecting the department and the union. Because now, if we are going to get the response that we are getting from the head of the department, who is leading the department, that means, therefore, Chairperson, the discussion that we are going to take place is to advise them what to do instead of carrying the answer. But that's my problem. I mean, it's in the process now of asking more questions. That's my problem. I'm trying to follow what you are saying. Because now it's becoming very difficult now to say, is it true what the union are saying, that there is no service establishment? Is it true if they are afraid they don't want to pay from the department point of view, is it true that they don't want to pay overtime? Is it true that the escape that is taking place within the department is done by the department, for the department, in order for the people to see that these people are incapable of doing their job? Is it true? Is it what they are saying, that the department is not existent? Is it incapable of carrying it? It is what they are saying. If that is what they are saying, Chairperson, from all the answers that they are going to give after the response,
that it seems as if we have a problem, Justice. That. Mr. Spanikov, it will be followed by Nguyenia, and then Max, then Stella, and then Makakula.
Thank you, Jefferson. I really need to pass my question. Because, no, Jefferson, I really do have a concern.
So you said you really need to pass your question.
I'm passing my question, Jefferson. No, case for us, baby. Because here at Jefferson, our exercise is not going to work. If we are just going to get need to know answer. For us here at the portfolio committee, we need to insist via you, Honorable Jefferson, that really we need top management with the labor unions to discuss this. Top management with the relevant officers of the unit, HR, to discuss this matter. Because in our oversight, Jefferson, the 7-day establishment is not ready. We are concerned as members. When we go to oversight, we are confronted with this. And we know, all of us know, when you sit in front of the TV, there is always escape. Always. Because of that? Because members are in danger, one member, looking after 300 inmates. It's not humane. This is not about the legalities. This is about negotiating in bad faith. And we are not going to get answers today. So why are we continuing with this meeting? We have to insist as a portfolio committee that the national commissioner, the 2 ministers, must be with us. With the different aspects, this must be a very big meeting. Because everybody has to account to this portfolio. Why is this 7-day establishment not working? Not working. That's why Treasury is skeptical. Treasury is skeptical because they cannot produce it with actual facts about their negotiations, etc. I'm asking that question then.
Mangwenya.
Thanks, Jefferson. Jefferson, really, I've got a lot of questions. But the response that we've got from the member that is leading the delegation, it shows that it's going to be difficult to answer the question that I want to ask them. Mine is focused, Jefferson, on OSD. The presentation chair indicates that the department has implemented 90 different OSDs. Which category does OSD adopt? The presentation again, chair, also mentioned that 10 specialization OSD were implemented. When did this implementation take place?
That's before you continue. Can you just ask those two questions, sir? And then I'll allow you to continue.
Let me finish, chair, because all is the OSD. Again, I want the department to prove to this committee which structure of these 10 specialized OSD career path, as well as the salary grade of this category of staff, indicating that was the salary grade before and after OSD. In terms of the grade provision, it's not there. You remember, Chair, we're making an oversight visit. We call a meeting with the staff. All the centers that were visited, they were saying the grade provision is not there. Some of them are now 10 years, some of them they've got 15 years, but they're still staying with those grades. And even today, we're not getting a clear answer. How are they creating them? Chairperson, again, in terms of this reviewer, the time frame also, they fail to answer. The time frame. They don't have a time frame. We're not going to accept care. A plan that we said we started 1, 2, 3, but there's no time frame of that thing. And next meeting when they came, they'll come and tell us something else. Chairperson, I want to stop there, Chair, and Chairperson, really, I'm not happy today about the department in terms of answering the question. This 7 days establishment is not there, is not working. The weakness of that is our report when we go to overtime. We find that there's a shortage of staff. If you can check all the documents that they gave us, it's written shortage of staff, shortage of staff. There's no implementation of the 7 day establishment. It's not there, Chair. Thank you.
We'll allow the department, but just on the final one, I thought the department said that the review was finalized, the waiting for adoption. And that the meeting that would have taken place last week was postponed. I think what we need to hear from you is postponed until when. But the other issue that, and then you'll respond to the rest, but the other issue that I'd want to raise, members, you see, we can't sit here as members of parliament lamenting and saying we are not happy or whatever, because nobody has been to answer. We must answer it. That's why what Valiso said is what we must discuss. Say, look, let's pass this thing and get correct people. But we can't sit here and say, okay, we are not happy, they're not going to give us answers. Who's going to make us happy? It is us that must take that decision. So as you respond, rather than lamenting, put on the table so that we take a decision. Valiso has put a decision, I mean, put a proposal. And as you respond, maybe you must talk to that proposal or put in another proposal. But we cannot lament because we are the final arbiters as far as the legislature is concerned. We must take a decision. And Babandogo, in fact, Palisa was seconding what Babandogo was saying originally. But can you respond to Mangwenya's questions around the career pathing, the 9 OSCs and the 10 specialized?
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to commit that the delegation that is here takes full responsibility and accountability. It doesn't matter what at that time we joined the organization. So when we respond to the question, we are responding as a CS and not as individuals. But we will come back to the Chairperson on the questions that the Chairperson requested us to come back on about who was in the negotiation and what are we doing now. Yes, Chairperson, the structure is complete. It's just a matter of management sitting together and adopting the structure so that it can be signed off. Chairperson, I must say that the date for the next meeting after postponement of last weekend has not yet been announced. But my colleague next to me, Gugula, is also going to assist in terms of the categories of the OSD implementation and when did you start and where are we going with the grades. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. We as CCS have actually implemented the 9 specialized OSCs, that is engineers, nurses, social workers, pharmacists, psychologists, educationists, medical officers, and legal officers, which are relevant in our environment. And ECD is a representative relation to the environmental practitioners whose OSC implementation is at an advanced stage. Emmanuel actually asked for the date and the remuneration taking place. Something that can be made available to the committee, because that was done and been upfront in the challenges that were presented for the implementation. The correctional officers where the OSD for the correctional officers was implemented, and the packages that and the grades are also attached on the document that I have here. I don't know if you'd like me to actually talk to through some, all of them, or just give just in some highlights. Can I take a chance? Let me start with the social workers. They are great progression and the progression requirements. The social workers is the one that this implementation, we didn't have much of programs with the social workers. The only program that we have is the translation, like what the CDC mentioned earlier. We find that it is our employees buzzers. But then when they come back, the social worker production stream, for instance, she has to go into grade one, which actually gives her 149,790. While some of the correctional officers that we have that have been given bursaries are on higher notice. Unfortunately, even though we have this research skill, we can't then attract this person because there is going to be a big cut. And the directive that we actually got for the implementation of the OSD professional workers, besides that you don't have any leeway. When you come, if for instance you do want to become a social worker after there, if you want to take social work as your career choice, you need to actually sign to say if it is lower than what you're currently earning, you can do that. But like what you mentioned, with the psychologist, we didn't have a problem because their OSD package is much better than the security officer packages. So if you compare a bachelor that you give to a person that is going to the social work stream and the package that you get that you give to a person that is from the psychologist stream, we are much more likely to attract the psychologist because their OSD packages are much more attractive than the salary packages of a social worker. We also implemented the artisan. I think the member from COP2 actually said we successfully implemented the CCS, the OSD for...
So that we don't get into too much detail on this matter. Maybe we should be asking you the question. You're saying you implemented the artisan, you implemented this and implemented that. We're sitting with a 50% in terms of artisan, 60% vacancy rate. I think the real question Mambwene is asking, if all these things that we've been doing, is it achieving the goal of getting the warm bodies in place so that service delivery can take place? Why do we have a 60% vacancy rate in Africa? Why do you're talking about psychologists, I think you're talking about a social worker, we've got a 36% vacancy in social workers. So it's more than just, have you followed the letter of the law? Is that thing bearing fruit? And if it's bearing fruit, we can't have vacancy rates of 30%. It's just not acceptable. In all this, there's none of these specialist workers other than your environmental somebody that has an acceptable vacancy rate. 5% we can live with. 30%, 20%, 36%, 60%. Why? I think maybe that's the question that you must ask. These things that we're talking about, are they going to address this? And by when? When do we expect to have a 95% post in all these specialized and OSDs? Can you give us an indication? Or will we ever reach a point where 95% of these funded posts are going to be funded? Can you talk to that to us?
Can I just have a response?
because for us, with the challenge that you mentioned of the 47, the 41, and then it's difficult because we have to actually start the process of screening the tether to ensure that we are at this 41,511. Because that is the instruction that you got from tether. And we've actually asked the commission to give us that approval, which he has done. And from now on, we are going to be able to actually say with confidence, because if you look at the vacancy rates that we have, they're actually based on the 47,333 that are not necessarily funded. So for us, I just want to talk a bit about whether we were coordinated in the implementation of the OSD. I would say, well, like, that actually repairing the car while it is going, the agreements were indeed concluded, but a lot of things had to be done. The structure had to be finalized. The structure had to be worked on. The code had to be created in line with the new code of the OSDs, and the creation of certain codes that actually came about through the implementation, like the supervisory codes that they actually checking up the committee asked us about. So it is a lot of processes that they're involved in.
Well, ma'am, let's try and get clarity on this. You see, you gave us a slide that says approved OSD post establishment and vacancy rate as at January 2012. And you're talking about the 60% occupant vacancy rate. I thought I heard you just now saying that you have to still go and clean something from the 47%. Which one is it? Because, well, let me put the question to you differently. What is our vacancy rate in terms of accidents now as we speak? Can you give us that figure, or do you still have to go and clean up that 47 that you keep on talking about and then come and give us a more accurate figure? What is the vacancy rate? In other words, what is the status of this document? Is it before cleaning or after cleaning? Why are you giving us a document before cleaning? Because then this can't be, because it could change tomorrow afterwards, isn't it? Because that's what you are saying. You are saying that if before cleaning, you could go and do cleaning and come back with something else. We are talking here about a 66% vacancy rate on the basis of this document. I would want you to come back with a clean document so that we talk about the exact vacancy rate that we are talking about, because I think this is what members have been complaining about, that we get documented. The integrity of the information that comes to this committee is questionable. And we have a problem with the integrity of this information. Baba, the two of you at the back know that we've argued about this thing for a long time. Now we have been told that this is before cleaning. So I think that the issues raised by Ngohu and Paliso, I'm beginning to go in that direction, because why am I working on a document that you yourself are saying is really not the correct position now? All right, we will, a month over, we'll come back. Let's just have a sense of what it was that Matt wanted to ask, and Kwele and Maka Kula, and then we will have to take a decision how we take the meeting forward. Matt, what are your questions, sir?
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to make a remark, but I just want to add my voice further to that of Member Paliso. You know, my first line here is, I'm very disappointed for the diluted representation from DDA. And I want to qualify why I'm saying so. Your HR, your human resource, is the most important asset of any institution. And the National Commissioner should have been here with his CDC. The Minister of Public Works said that his department is in the ICU. I will go so far and with due respect to say this department is already in the budget. Unless they do something better. You know, the reason why I'm saying it, okay, the ICU is managed by consultants.
legal services managed by outside entities, later related by virtue of the court. It's the first time that I see that a department has to deal with its members, its personnel, by a court order and reward. It is a common court that the employer should always take positive action in any dispute in the interest of his workforce. Now, I just want to know as to why, with the various conflicts, the department didn't approach the PGWSBC to facilitate the council, to facilitate this deadlock between the employer and the employee representative. Because that is the obvious thing to do, because the Labor Relations Act authorized them to do so. The other process is that, you know, just in the Western case, there's a CEO, a correctional officer, one, equal to a warrant officer in the police, who's acting now for 9 years, every 3 months is getting an acting letter. These are the things which demoralize your workforce. But it's also common cause that, and a well-known fact, that unions always try to offend their territory and try their luck in management. I was there 7 years, senior position in police. But as in regard to their submission, I can't find any malice fide in their argument. Not at all. And in my view, there is a drastic need in correctional services to overhaul the management of correctional services. The problem in correctional services, a very small percentage is budget to rectify certain things. The biggest part of the problem in correctional services is management. And that needs to be addressed. This thing and the tendency of DCS to take any arbitration award almost, and I think it has been confirmed by the union, for review. Although it was the right to do so, but some of these reviews for awards, it's obvious that they don't have a chance to be successful. And the reason, the ultimate reason of that, I assume, is to frustrate the other side, because they do this on the cost of taxpayers' money. They use taxpayers. And in most instances, the individual who challenges the decision has to dig out his own small pocket. And they know the imbalance in the power, the financial power, is huge. They can afford to have a case on the court roll for a year, the individual who suffers the inconvenience, doesn't have that money and without income. We have to look at that. The other thing is, it is not the intention of this committee to manage the department. But I think the time has come that we are sick and tired of the rhetoric which we actually hear every time. That we are going to fix it. We know it needs to be done. We know that it needs to be done. But they didn't do it. Likewise with the nutrition problem which we dealt with. They knew things were going to be terminated, but they didn't do any homework before that. So my suggestion is, and in regard to the inputs the department gave us, they are going to do this, they are going to do that, and they are going to do that. The only way that we're going to measure them properly, Chairperson, and to compel them to do something, is that this committee ordered it, that if the rhetoric within the department should provide us with a clear implementation plan via the National Commission. So we'll do this. Do this, what needs to be done, what is going to be done by date, different date, so that we can measure their progress. Otherwise, all these things will be in limbo, will end in limbo. We are not going to proceed. It is our responsibility as Parliament to ensure that the people out there get the services, and that the department comply with its constitutional mandate. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. I think I'm very proud that when I heard that the meeting was going to be in this way in all the family, I thought that we were going to be full. The reason why I'm saying this is that in my mind, so that the RCs are going to be as well. And also, if possible, the head of prison. Because that's why the implementation of the 7 days of establishment takes place. By saying that, I'll go along with what Paddy says, Honourable Member Paddy, so that there's no need to continue to question if the very important people who are doing the implementation are not here, and also the National Commission. When we are sitting here, I'm just saying to myself, what is exactly happening here? Because this meeting is very important. This is very important. In fact, the one which is talking to the department, what is supposed to do before, where all people should be present dealing with this thing of 7 days establishment. Workers are not happy, I must say. When you visit centers, they're not happy. And even if we talk of the money factor, it was going to be very good if the National Commissioner was there, because you see here they talk of overtime, that we can't go around paying them because there are no money. But if the National Commissioner and the Minister and the Deputy were here, it was going to be a good meeting. I feel that we should go along with the Palestinian Law suggestion.
Honorable Makarabula.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't know, I was prepared my question. No, I can't. I put it that right. I want to recommend. Really, Chair, you know why I do this? It's because when you did say that some of them, they are new, and then some of them in the officials, they are new in the department. Is there who is telling us that is from your colleague, madam? So that some of you are new, you may be not having the information. So it gives us a problem that how can we deal with you when there's one member on your side is telling us that maybe you don't know the information. That would make us to reserve some of the questions. Indeed, there are a lot of things that I'm supposed to ask even in the unions, but as I'm going to ask the union will answer, and then who's going to speak, because some of them, they are very new, they can't answer the question very proper, and get that from them. It's like, if that was coming on our side, really, we can say no, sometimes we are wrong, the department will be in position to answer on the question, but that it comes to the department itself, that some of them, they are new, they can't answer to us here and there, then it gives us a problem. So, Mami, I reserve my question. I ask when the necessary, when the department come with the unions ready for everything to answer our questions. I don't think what I can say. It is coming from the department, not to us here. So it's only that, Chairperson, I reserve my question. It is good for the department to be here. Not even, because when we ask Chair, we are not channeled. We have to ask broader. And some of the things, Chairperson, you even see in yourself when you ask about this. It's in the report, but seemingly it can be implemented because there are things that they're supposed to do before this. So, all in it tells you that you can't go forward because all is not well organized identity.
Thanks, members. Let me just try and summarize some of the issues that came out and then take a decision to come to it. From Popsville's side, there has been a focus on shortage of personnel. I'm thinking from both sides, and I'll take them as they come. There's also the issue of top heavy versus top floor, in other words, where people are placed. There's the issue around the migration. People get migrated on paper, get the salary, but don't necessarily allocate it there. And then there's the whole issue around the court interdicts, those that have been warned by top crew, and some of the rationale why there are so many interdicts and the department being managed by the court in a way. Then there's the issue of working on Sundays and being paid as an ordinary day type of problem. There's the overtime dispute and the cost implications. If we had continued, I was certainly going to raise those cost implications that you yourself spoken about, but there's a whole overtime dispute. There's the recruitment policy that if we're going to recruit via colleges, and these colleges don't have the capacity to do it, then it's futile. They raise the 1,000 for college type of thing. What is your recruitment policy, and then are you capacitated to do it? And then there's the whole issue around the post-establishment versus the first post that came from both sides. So those are the types of issues. PSA, and I'm not going to repeat the ones that overlap, but the there's the whole issue around the high percentage of sick leave and the causes thereof. They raised the labor court matters, not those that are there now, but those that they would implement in the eventuality that certain things are not being done. In other words, future possible court processes. And then, of course, the whole disregard of basic employment rights. Those were the kinds of issues that came up from PSA. I'm raising these issues because PSA will be here when we meet again. POPCRO will be here when we meet again. So they'll be able to repeat these and others that I haven't left. I'm raising it so that when the minister and the deputy minister and the commissioner join your delegation, we don't recreate the wheel again. If you're really not going to talk about the legalities, all these issues, how do they impact on service delivery, or how do they expose the peace and stability of these countries? That's what we're going to discuss, because that's our mandate. Everything else is labor court, is arbitration. I can gain. Ours is service delivery. So these are the type of things, and I have to then associate myself with the majority members of the committee. At least five of them said, we don't think we want to carry on with this meeting in this fashion. And that we request that there are other players, including the minister, the deputy minister, the commissioner, and the ICC. So that's what we're going to do, by your direction, members. What Cindy and I will do, we'll try and find a slot, because it means we're going to have to juggle, because we never budgeted for a follow-up meeting of this meeting. And every time we have to do something, it means something falls behind. So we will call another meeting. It means something will be sacrificed so that we put into another quarter. But I think Babatele hit the nail on the head. If this meeting doesn't sit and discuss constructively the matters that are on the table here, everything else that Correctional Services does is going to fall short. Everything else that Correctional Services does is going to fall short. So it is an important meeting. We will try with Cindy to find a slot as soon as possible, where you will be invited to, not necessarily to represent, but to defend whatever you have. and the same with Pietra, that you will come and defend what you said, and the department to come up with some of the responses, if you now know it and you have got their presentation, and also to come with information to us that we can really work on. We can't have a situation where the information is what we have, but it might have to be cleaned up. Because we need to, when we debate and argue these things, debate and argue on real facts. So the one thing we are asking the department is that it comes timely, and the second is that even if it's timely, you must be able to defend the information you have, because we will go and do our own research and point out where there are contradictions. And it's not our job as portfolio committee to be able to say, but this thing is not correct. But if we have to get to that point and have to argue about the integrity of information that's coming to Parliament, then we're going to have a serious problem. We've raised this matter every time Baba Abraham is here, he raises the matter of integrity. In fact, the commissioner himself, Lorette, has said that there will be some sort of quality control or quality management for information that comes here. But we cannot have a situation where we are working on information that might not be the final information. Because then what are we talking about? We cannot do that anymore. So that is what is going to happen. We're going to adjourn this meeting. We will re-invite all of you and then ask that the minister and the deputy minister and the commissioner and possibly the RCs be present in a meeting where we go through all these matters and discuss and find a way forward. Is that acceptable to members? Is that how we want to have it? They are the bosses, they said yes, meeting. Thank you very much for coming. We will continue to work on these documents in our preparation, but any future documents you can get 7 days before the day. And I'm simply will let you know when that meeting takes place. Thank you very much and thank you.